Welcome home, brave heroes. I'm Ash, this is Ash Quest, and today we are going to be analyzing the responses that you have sent in on the Discord in the Broadcast Q&A channel. Before we begin, I know, it's not Monday. There has been something of a celebratory event in that the podcast is on more platforms. If you are a YouTube enjoyer, but you would rather listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music, you can listen to the podcast on any of those platforms. It's also listed on Podcast Index. I think that means that it can be picked up by platforms that get their feeds from Podcast Index, but I'm not sure how that works. I'm still new to the world of podcasting, and I have not been able to make enough time to dive into what it all means, where it all goes, why, how. I've even got a podcast up on the YouTube side that isn't available anywhere else because it's not an actual technical sound-only podcast. I uploaded it as an MP4, although I left the video blank. YouTube doesn't allow me to upload any other file format, and I was having a problem with the RSS distribution where I normally upload my podcasts, and yada, yada, yada. That's all boring. There's one or two more videos on YouTube than there is other places, but regardless, moving all past that, I asked a question in the Discord on the 14th now. That doesn't change. I said now as if that's a date that moves. It was asked on the 14th. We've talked quite a bit about our initial reactions to the first light reveal. HeroQuest First Light, the new edition of the game system that has been announced by Avalon Hill on their Instagram. Now that it's come about, what are you excited about? What kind of possibilities do you see for HeroQuest, both on store shelves and at your table? Is this the beginning of a grand voyage full of unforgettable sights and priceless treasure, or is there an iceberg out there waiting to challenge the expedition with unforeseen difficulty? Do you think the decision to use AI is a one-off, or is this the norm? Is there a line that could possibly be crossed before it's too much? What does it mean for your table, as a player? As a fan, as a crafter, a collector, an influencer. Here is who we have sounding off below. Just a quick shout out to everybody who contributed to this discussion. We've got Elviler, Joe, Ecto Libris, Leorlek, Rudolph 666, Sweeper, and Ribby, and Xerxes as well. So we have a lot of, this is probably one of the more loaded topic questions, shall we say, but that's because it is a big, big question, and it has a lot of big answers. Before we jump ahead into the responses, I do want to acknowledge that Avalon Hill did put up a disclaimer after I asked this question and after my previous videos about the topic, sort of a response to fan concerns, and I'm as happy as the happiest of us out there to see the response. And the response was shared on their Instagram, and it reads, "We love humans," in text, and then an image is attached to the response, and the image is an Avalon Hill branded image, and it says, "We've heard rumblings that the art for Talisman Alliances and HeroQuest First Light was created by AI, but we can confirm real humans produced the magnificent, intricate art. When creating new games, we have the honor and pleasure of working with some of the most incredibly talented artists out there, and these projects were no different. We'd like to thank and acknowledge Clark Mitchell for his work on HeroQuest First Light and the crew at Yellowfly Agency for Talisman 5th Edition and Talisman Alliances." So, that I do want to acknowledge. They did take the time to address the concerns out there. As a short response to that response, I really do wish that they hadn't poured gasoline on that fire. Exposing the artist being Clark Mitchell really pushed a lot of the folks who are on the yes, it's AI side to kind of just fervently double down, and it bred a lot of resentment and quite a bit of frustration with the company, because the art is full of AI artifacts. Regardless if this is just an artistic style or not, it would be unacceptable, in the opinion of most players of the game, most buyers, most enjoyers, most collectors, most crafters of this game, to have this art on an official cover for all of the mistakes and issues that it has. But I'm still in the camp of they're not mistakes. They're not choices. They are artifacts that show the usage of artificial intelligence as a tool. And the thing is, Avalon Hill has plausible deniability in that they are a customer to the artist. They commissioned an artist to create this art. They may not have asked if the artist used or was planning to use artificial intelligence tools to generate the image that was sold to them and the rights to that image, which being an artificially intelligence produced image in a lot of territories now, jurisdictions, that's the word I need, they are ruling that art created to some extent using AI tools and machine learning cannot be copyrighted. And that's kind of a whole other can of worms. So somebody definitely sold their services, but it's possible that they didn't have the right to sell a license to use it when the license by default is CCO. So it's just a strange, strange situation. It's true, objective, factual, whatever you want to say, that Avalon Hill approved this art for use on the box, or that Hasbro approved the art for the box. I'm not taking the entire company here, necessarily every person in the company, and putting them on the same chopping block. The company is full of people who love what they do, who have a real passion for what they are doing, and they don't deserve to be mixed in or lumped in with whoever the decision maker was for this. They don't share that blame. It's just unfortunate that they do kind of share the burden of the backlash, because the backlash does affect everybody in the company for better or for worse. And that is why it's very sensitive and very important for a company to address things like this with integrity and with sincerity. And a lot of folks, myself included, who read that response, we didn't find that statement was sincere. We didn't find that it was something stated with integrity. They say they can confirm that. That's not something I believe. And I understand that they don't have to ask the artist if he used AI tools. But the fact is, every single artist out there, and I use that term quite liberally, who goes onto Twitter, uses bots to canvass people for their commissioned needs, and returns to them with AI art and charges. This has been going on, unfortunately, for a while. It's kind of an art epidemic on Twitter, X. And I know when I casted the net out, just saying that I needed an artist, that's all you have to do. You can do this today. You can try this today. You can post on Twitter and you can say, I need an artist for my project. I need to commission some art. It doesn't matter if you have zero friends on your friends list, if you've got no other posts, you are going to get messaged probably by the dozens almost immediately. You give it 48 hours, that's when it starts to die down, or whenever you close the post or turn off replies or turn off your DMs or what have you. But you will get message after message asking what your needs are. Some people will be able to provide you references, because there are a lot of legitimate artists on X, Twitter, that are looking for work. The starving artists trope is alive and well, and there's a lot of people who are really struggling, fighting to survive, trying to get extra cash so that they can pay rent for that month or what have you, and they canvas people. But some people use bots, and they capture all of these posts out there that mention keywords like art. And unfortunately, the people who use AI they seem to be the ones who are most talented with the usage of these bots. And you will get a lot of artists that use AI predominantly, if not exclusively, as part of their workflow process, if you can even call it that. And they will attempt to immediately sell you something that is very cheap, or at least seems very cheap for whatever you need it for. I mean, you're buying the rights to something. You're buying a piece of art. You're buying a license to use it. That should not be cheap. If it's for personal use, that's fine, whatever. But if you're using it for something official, like for when I canvassed artists, I said that I needed to also buy the rights to whatever artwork they made. It would be made as a work for hire so that I would be able to take the art and use it without restriction on projects that I am making now, a contract and everything. And there were some folks who were like, I can have it done for you tomorrow. They didn't ask any details or anything. And all of their examples on their pages were pretty obviously artifacted, way different styles, lots of paintings with that classic AI filter-like shading. No, that's not me proving that anybody was using AI, but you could tell. You could tell. You could call a spade a spade. And a lot of people were able to see the artist's work that was cited in the Avalon Hill statement. And I really believe that was not a good move. That was really pouring gasoline onto a fire to put it out, because the artist in question produced a lot of politically charged art pieces as NFTs and is involved with some political stuff that goes way beyond the scope of the channel, but is very upsetting for some people. And the artist in question has submitted work for Hasbro before. Hasbro commissioned the artist to create the cover for another game they had a few years back, I think 2021, and it was Monopoly Disney Villains Edition. And this artwork is posted proudly on the artist's social media, at least if it hasn't been deleted yet, because the artist has deleted a lot of their social media accounts, allegedly. And you can also view this for yourself if you just go to Amazon, because it's out there. The product is approved. The product is official. The art is done. The ink is dry. It's on shelves. If you go to Amazon and you look for a Monopoly Disney Villains Edition, you look at the cover. Cruella De Vil has six fingers on each hand. This is not even ambiguous. Just count them. Just count them. Cruella De Vil has 12 fingers on the cover of that box. And that is a box that exists in real life. And so there's a lot of folks out there right now kind of complaining, oh, the AI witch hunters are in full force. It's not that. We just don't want to see it. We just don't want to see it on our boxes. Please do better. Please do better. To anybody listening at all, Avalon Hill, Hasbro, Satellite Area, even the artist himself, but we love this product. We are probably objectively, I would say we're the reason it's still going. It's the reason anybody decided to bring it back. The fans kept it alive for decades. We have a love for this. We have a love for the memories that we have made and are making by having people gather around a table and engage in light role play and think of strategies to continue the fun of the game. And I know the company that has it now, Avalon Hill, love the game as well. But for whatever reason, and I'm not saying it's because of layoffs from Hasbro or because of other turnover or because of cost cutting, it may genuinely have just been a mistake for whatever reason. You see decisions like this, and we want to give our feedback. We want to say, don't do that. Do better next time, please. It's probably too late now. The damage is done, which is sad and unfortunate. And there are people that I never thought I would ever see state that they would be canceling their order for this, saying it. And there's some people who have done this just because the art is AI, and I think that's valid. And those people, I feel, were kind of vindicated. And that was before the artist just turned out to be who they are and has the ties that they are. Some of this, a lot of this will still not matter to anybody. I understand that. Some people are like, I'm buying everything because I'm having fun playing the game. I understand that. But there are just a couple of consequences that could happen if they continue down that route, because companies do tend to make decisions sometimes that drive them deeply into a loss of customer. Again, beyond the scope of the channel, but I could cite Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, and what they had going on for a few years. I could cite Hogwarts Legacy, which it wasn't really a choice that the development team made so much as it was just ties to a person. There's been controversy over this stuff in the video game world time after time after time. And guilt by association is enough for some people. There are folks who are not even going to buy this until it's like secondhand, so they're not supporting the brand. Like, they want the product, but they are not going to get the product. I'm going to get the product because I feel it's very important to have a high fidelity overview of everything that is included within the product. It's important to highlight the highs of the other team members, of the people who had the dedication to work on the game and the love of working on the game. I'm not somebody who wants those things to be undermined and pushed under the rug because of guilt by association. I want those things to shine. And ultimately, I do think that those things will shine when the game is unboxed and shown. But it's broadcast question time. And let's get into that now. I definitely spent way more time talking about that stuff than I necessarily wanted to. And I apologize for that. Stance hasn't changed. It's not going to change. But I'm not going to bring it up anymore. I'm pretty much done talking about all that now. So Elviler leads the charge in answering the broadcast question, saying, "I'm still holding on to hope that the AI thing is just placeholder and that they're waiting to wait until Gen Con to do the actual and full reveal. And if it's actually AI for the final product, there should be a disclaimer about it. I personally don't think that anything should be done with AI without some kind of disclaimer mentioning the use of AI. And if it's just a placeholder, it should have a disclaimer about that. Either way, something's not being disclosed that should be disclosed. As for what I feel about the future of HeroQuest and this new starter set, well, I'm excited about it. I think it's great they're trying to get more people into the game. That's what we all want. I heard some rumors, not sure if true or not, that this set might have minis for monsters and standees for the heroes. I'm actually okay with that, and I think it's a great idea. It opens the doors wide open for them to release more hero collections, including the possibility of a 4-pack starter set of the original 4 heroes. Joe says, "I would not like standee figures, though I would accept cardboard furniture, but only for the starter, not future expansions. I hated standees in Warhammer and Warhammer 40k box sets and don't believe they would be as durable as plastic minis needing to be moved around each turn. Would greatly reduce their life expectancy, in my opinion. Cardboard wears down, and if it's plastic standees, what's the point? I mean, something like furniture, placed and never touched again during the game, being cardboard is fine, but as for characters being moved each turn, I expect they will deteriorate over time. That being said, standee monsters I would use as target practice or training dummies for the heroes. I would buy First Light anyhow. It would be 2 Christmases in a row I'd get a HeroQuest core system, but that's okay. Thankfully, I can dupe family into thinking it's just an expansion, as Avalon Hill are bleeding me dry with their content this year already. Preach it." Ectolibris says, "Looking forward to the game parts and quests of First Light. New monster sculpts, if true, would be great, but it will be first HeroQuest set that I break apart. I'll gladly rehome the pieces and throw out the box. That art is absolutely killing any enjoyment I would normally be getting from speculation. It's made me real sour." Leorlik says, Joe, "Your view on the standees is overlooking something. First Light is a new, lighter weight starter set, but does not replace the game system and is intended to be something for both the current players and new players. If they include standee heroes with new monsters or alternate sculpts of game system monsters, that feeds directly into that logic. New monster sculpts would get current owners to buy First Light. Having standees instead of plastic heroes give the hero players, starting with First Light, additional incentive to go out and buy the game system after they finish the quest in First Light, rather than only expanding into the quest packs." Rudolph666 says, "If the content reflects the art used, it would be terrible. I love the idea of a smaller, more affordable starter kit, but it needs to enchant and stimulate the beginning player. If I was new to HeroQuest, I would not pick up that box unless it was under 10 euros. I hope the content is better. We all want HeroQuest to do well and get lots of new players playing it, so I hope this brings them. But the picture that will be on the game shelves will not lure the new player. This will, of course, be bought by the HeroQuest fans. Still hope on a good story. The original heroes? I also hope Hasbro and Avalon Hill do something with the feedback they have gotten already and make the next thing better." Sweeper says, "I'm very much hoping the AI thing is equivalent to the Blizzard 'you all have mobile phones' gaffe when promoting that Diablo for mobile while everyone was hoping for a PC-released video game. Just a big company stumbling through a time-is-changing moment and just being a bit tone-deaf in their expectations of a response. I personally use AI art for storyboarding, but I make it very clear that it's AI on the pages. Watermark that abomination left, right, and center, that it's not to be released to the public. It's only there and being used as a tool because I can't get the image from my mind onto paper. I would be mortified if my terrible storyboard was released to the world instead of the video I envisioned. And I either imagine someone who designed the box art is dying a little inside that someone saw their working instead of their vision. That or some marketing exec just doesn't care and is laughing to the bank. Either way, I feel like this is a path I hope they don't continue to tread, and the wait until Gen Con to see if they make right seems an eternity to wait. On a positive side, the elf in the cover looks like she's wielding the same shield as the Mage of the Mirror, male elf, so maybe we're looking at getting some more unique hero gender swaps. Sweeper also says, my hopes for this, at least, will be, as someone else mentioned, so disregard if it's old hat, cardboard tokens to cover the bulk of the stuff with the opportunity to replace it with real plastic minis with the base game. To make it appeal to owners of the original art, the only minis in the box being new sculpt version of heroes as actual plastic minis, and maybe introduce some bonus tiles for homebrew. That way you get a budget release by only creating four minis, but making the game playable still. It's at this point I wanted to suggest a alternative that maybe we'd get the normal hero sculpts and the game system monsters, just fewer of them. Tiles instead of 3D furniture, fewer cards across all decks instead of the game system, amount of cards. I could kind of see a smaller map, one used exclusively in the quest book that would come with First Light, but the new edition of the game system definitely has to have everything that is necessary to play any and all of the expansions from the original game system contents, so it's possible that we do get furniture, but they're all tiles. It's possible that we do get a reduced amount of monsters with the expectation that we have to clear an entire room's worth of monsters. Before we go around fighting and opening up other doors and such, maybe there are even rules in First Light that prevent a player from opening another door until all of the monsters are off the board. Something like that. Something. Or else there's just a front and center clarification and reminder that if you are going to run out of monsters to place substitutions, and probably an additional rule that says if you don't have substitutions, then there's just no more monsters. They're not participating. They're not participating in this quest. Ribby says, my biggest concern is the AI portion, and I can't help but think about Wizards of the Coast with this. We just got an announcement that Wizards of the Coast was hosting HeroQuest nights at participating shops. Then we get a teaser that clearly shows AI art. Wizards of the Coast has already received flack for doing AI art. I can't help but feel like this stuff is connected. It could be a coincidence, but I don't think so. Wizards of the Coast is suddenly involved with HeroQuest. AI art is suddenly being shown. I can't help but think they're connected. The big concern I had as soon as I heard Wizards of the Coast was doing HeroQuest nights was that Wizards of the Coast would be screwing up and influencing HeroQuest negatively. I feel like this is now happening and I don't like it. Wizards of the Coast already caused problems with Magic the Gathering, and I don't want them mucking up HeroQuest. I just don't understand what Hasbro or whoever is thinking with these decisions. Besides the art, I feel like First Light will be a solid expansion like the others we have received. It's just kind of ominous to me, the connections between Hasbro, Avalon Hill, and Wizards. Xerxes says, totally agree the box art is completely questionable. It makes you think why, what the hell, or WTF. So here's my breakdown of the good, bad, and very ugly. Or good, bad, ugly, and very ugly. The good is we're getting some more content, minis, tiles, different game board, possibly new design, and new quests. All still can be questionable until the reveal. The bad is we have seen this before with Jungles of Delthrak. Let's not forget the first reveal box of a temple and pieces of minis on the box, and then when they did the reveal. It's completely different from the first sightings of Jungles of Delthrak. I believe the marketing group did this and sat back watching all of us and laughing out loud just to get us hyped up. The ugly is, this is what we are doing, going back and forth without getting the 100% fact on what will be produced and sending out all communications and all forms of speculations that could be right or wrong. I've seen some not too nice comments being made, but we should not lose faith, and let's wait for the reveals before making the negative comments like, I'll not support or buy from them anymore. The very ugly? Post just seen on Reddit HeroQuest, comment that someone is trying to get more info on Wizards of Morcar will not be remade by Avalon Hill from a Facebook comment. I hope this will not be true and that someone, for some apparent reason, needs to start a rumor. I have complete faith that Avalon Hill will keep the HeroQuest fans motivated in their decisions and new expansions for the realm, and foresee Avalon Hill to complete all and give more in the near future. So, I'm thinking in response to this, because it was before the response from Avalon Hill, right? So unfortunately, the response and pointing out who it was that created the art has justified a few people's decisions not supporting or buying, at least, at the very least, this upcoming product. I also saw the post on Reddit. Someone asked about Wizards of Morcar at a convention and was told no, or it was kind of vague what they were told. I think from my standpoint, it wasn't a good question to ask. Somebody who asked, are we going to get Wizards of Morcar, should not expect to get a definitive answer from Avalon Hill. They don't release information like that to consumer. I don't think it was right to spread that answer without giving the context. You know, who exactly was it that you asked? Was it just a booth temp employee? Was it somebody important? Who was it? Why not name names? I don't like that. And on top of that, it seemed like the same person who claimed that they asked and was told it's not going to happen had their own homebrew version using the original Wizards of Morcar IP, and they are selling it, which I think is a big no-no. But, you know, I'm not here to gatekeep. They're able to do whatever they want. I don't like seeing it right alongside the, it's not going to happen. You know, I asked and they said no. I don't like that. Now, the last comment in this broadcast Q&A forum was made by Sweeper, and this was done after the Avalon Hill response to the AI concerns within the community on their Instagram. And Sweeper said, interested to hear the discussion on plausible deniability from Avalon Hill now that they linked their First Light art artist and said it's human made while showing basically an AI art portfolio and NFT scams. So I think it's too late for them to change any of that. The damage has been done. The fire has burned, unfortunately. For worse, I think they can't stop the presses. They can't say, let's change it, let's cancel it, let's go back. I don't know that we'll get a second response. I think that it may be best business practice, best large corporation practice to never back down, to always double down on stuff, even if what you're saying is not in a sincere place or a place with any integrity. But if we did get such a post, such a response from Avalon Hill, even though it's really going to be too little too late for those of us who care about this sort of thing, even though the damage is done, we're going to have this ugly mar, this stain, something that's forever going to be known as the AI art game system on our shelves. Even so, they could release a statement. They could say, you know, we've heard you. And we apologize, and we will do better going forward. And that is all. Just a statement that is self-aware. That's all we need, is a statement that is self-aware. It can be apologetic. It just needs to acknowledge. It needs to not deny. It just needs to be self-aware. And I think that most of us would be able to get over it in the same way that the commander of the Guardian Knights was released and it was exclusive and it sold out in minus 6 seconds, and then they never came out with it again. That stained Avalon Hill's reputation. It really marred it for a lot of people, and it didn't have to be a big deal for everybody. There wasn't everybody upset about it, but for those who were upset about it, they did not like that they didn't have access to a product. It was understandable that they were upset. And Avalon Hill learned from that. They were able to apply the knowledge that that was not a good thing to their future releases. Now, I mean, we are seeing stuff like things running out of stock in non-English speaking countries and not getting re-releases. We are seeing a shortage of the Path of the Wandering Monk and things like that. That really just might be a symptom of a game asset or game expansion or what have you that's popular. It's sold out. There's just not another print run of it, or there was, and now that's just two print runs and now it's done. I don't know how all that stuff works. I'm sure there's folks in the comments who will be able to line it out front to back, but that's not quite the same as the shortage of the night, is what I'm saying. And they were able to do good on that by releasing a version of the night with the exact same abilities and everything like that in a retail expansion. So they were at least able to do something about that, even though it's not the exact same product, even though those who were ticked off about it lost out on something really cool for a while. And we still have people that are pretty up in flames about not getting the Crypt of Perpetual Darkness expansion. I don't like talking about that, because we don't know anything. We just have good faith speculation, but it's behind closed doors. It's not productive to keep talking about. But the point is, there's folks that are upset about this that may or may not have been upset about the other things. And I feel like it's good, right, and fair to recognize that there is a demograph of HeroQuest players who are upset about this in particular. It's fine to acknowledge that they are upset about it. They don't threaten the future of the game for everybody else. They are providing the feedback that needs to be heard for the company, by the company. And that is time for me and all of the broadcast Q&A. I'm pretty much done with everything First Light until I get a copy of the game system and am ready to unbox it. So, unless a huge news wave hits and we get leaks of everything in the box, or they decide to change the cover art, or just something really big and newsworthy comes along, I'm going to be done talking about First Light. And I know you're saying, well, thank God. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Thank God I'm done talking about First Light. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But thank you so much for listening, and thank everybody. Thank you to everybody who participated in the broadcast Q&A. If you would like to participate, just join the Discord and keep an eye on the broadcast Q&A channel, and I'll read your stuff in a future podcast. Until next time, I hope you all have a fantastic rest of your day. Have a great day. If you're going to work, roll all skulls in your attacks and all white shields in your defenses, and double sixes whenever you need to move. Now onward, brave heroes.